531. Robert Oliver is a New Zealand chef who was raised in Fiji and Samoa. He has developed restaurants in New York, Miami, Las Vegas, and Sydney, farm-to-table resorts in the Caribbean, and food programs feeding homeless people and African immigrants with AIDS in New York City. Robert returned to the South Pacific to write his first cookbook with a development mission to connect Pacific agriculture to the region's tourism sector. Me'a Kai, the food and flavors of the South Pacific, stunned the food world by winning top prize Best Cookbook in the World 2010 at the Gourmand World Cookbook Awards in Paris. Robert is the executive director and founder of Pacific Island Food Revolution, a television media-led movement across the South Pacific designed to return the region to traditional cuisine in an effort to curb the Pacific's NCD crisis. Robert is on the phone with us. Talofalava, Robert, and thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, great to hear from you.
So, Robert, raised in Samoa and Fiji, could you tell us a little bit of that story, please?
Oh, sure. Well, my dad started the YMCA in Fiji and Samoa in the 70s and 80s. And so, you know, he was kind of a development trailblazer, really, and I always attribute my work to this kind of mindset that he gave us as a family, and it was really around that community-led approach to life. So we grew up in, and we didn't have an expat life. You know how the expats in the islands often had good money and fancier houses. We didn't have that because social work was not deemed to be one of those kind of high prestigious roles in terms of money, at least. But of course it gave us a very rich life as children, and my brother and sister and I all, you know, benefited greatly from really a Pacific upbringing.
And thus your decision, after being all over the world doing so much good work, to come back to the South Pacific and write Me'a Kai. Where did that inspiration hit you, Robert?
Well, I was working in New York when the farm-to-table movement started, and I really got excited by the idea of chefs and people in hospitality being drivers of economy, and the type of economy. So the type of economy was where you can have a business that really supports farmers, and moving to that real food space rather than food as an industrial commodity. So it was a bit about the quality of the food as well. And then I got offered work in the Caribbean, putting restaurants into three resorts, and I realized, and I took that, the love of the farm-to-table movement with me, and I was a consultant chef putting all these restaurants in, training executive chefs, etc., in Barbados, St. Lucia, in the Caribbean. And I realized when I was doing that the thing that made that work, the farm-to-table work in an island situation, was when you put local cuisine on the menu, you needed the supply from local farmers. So it just made it, it was the glue that made kind of driving local economies work. Where tourism is the main industry, the opportunity is really huge to flow financial benefits into the rural sector, the farmers. And I was like, wow, you know, I realized I was becoming my father's son rather quickly. And I thought, well, the Pacific has the same situation. I remember even when I was a kid hearing how tourism and agriculture need to work together to create the best benefits for the whole country. So because a tremendous amount of food is imported for tourism, and that just has the money leaving offshore. If it stays in country, of course, it's good for everybody. And I met Tracy Burno, Dr. Tracy Burno then, and we decided to write the Me'a Kai book, which was that we wanted to identify the cuisine of the Pacific and celebrate it, and it had to be packaged up for people to really get it. And we wanted the tool, you know, we wanted that piece that the chefs could work with, and also that would go into the marketplace in New Zealand, Australia, so people coming into Fiji and Samoa and Tonga and Vanuatu, etc., would have some understanding of local food before they arrived. And that was all, you know, that was, it's not, it was about working with both ends of the equation. So that was how the Maokai book came about. I mean, it was a real passion project for all of us, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of still, it's still carrying on.
It is a work of art, and it really took our cuisine, our Pacifica cuisine, to the world. That farm-to-table concept, growing up in Fiji and Samoa, you would have seen driving through the villages and being in the villages, the disconnect between the villages and those resort hotels. You talk about that. It's funny because I go to the Cook Islands. I love to drink green coconut, and yet no one could give me one
that's a hotel. Perfect example. You're absolutely right. And that, listen, I remember when I was a kid and my dad working with a group of farmers around a resort in Fiji to supply the hotel, because he's, you know, the village system doesn't need a lot of money, but they need some money because it's a cash economy that we all live in. And back then, this, I'm talking 40 years ago, it was, you know, people like my dad were kind of innovating in that space. But there's still work to do. There are amazing chefs in the Pacific now doing this work. And some of the hoteliers are kind of realizing the value of supporting the community that they're housed within. But it's not, to me, it's not fully strategic. And I have a little wish that that during the COVID, you know, moment, the reflection of this, that maybe tourism in the Pacific will think, you know what, we can do better for our people through this beautiful industry than we're doing now. And I'm hoping the governments see the opportunity to kind of reset the tourism model a bit.
Yes, of course, the artists on the Cook Islands are agitating for them to recognize the value of the arts there. And likewise, I hope the chefs are doing likewise. You speak about your dad. Is he still alive? And if
no,
he is,
no, he passed away 3 years ago. Yeah.
Yes, and
we have connections, you know, because your wife's dad and my dad were good mates in Samoa.
Mm.
It goes back. You know how these old item relationships, they never go away.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. But before he passed 3 years ago, he would have known that you'd come back to the South Pacific, and that must have brought so much joy to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I didn't realize until I started working on Pacific Island Food Revolution, I did realize, but I hadn't fully realized how highly esteemed he is, even to this day, in the Pacific, because often it's his name that opens doors for me. And we're talking 34 years ago. So, when someone does amazing, amazing work, it's a legacy. And I feel that I have inherited and continue that work as well as I can. I mean, I had a pretty incredible, you know, role model to kind of work off. I often now, I think many of us have people in our lives, even if they've passed away, you think, well, what would they do? And I often do that with my dad. I always believe that he was on the right side of history, and his thinking was very correct. And so there's a constant referral to him in my mind to this day. I mean, even this morning there was something came up and I thought, what would my dad do?
Becoming a chef, where did that come from, speaking of inheritance?
Well, I always loved food. I mean, if you grew up in Fiji, especially for me, the market I just remember, you know, the market in Suva is such an exuberant, amazing place. And I got really kind of infected by the whole Pacific and Fijian in particular food dishes and just the fun of the market and all that. And then I fell into cooking because I love food professionally. I did many things over the years. You mentioned a couple of them, but I mean, food was always not just about being a chef to me, because a chef is often associated to the restaurant industry and maybe kind of very creative executions of food, etc. But food is also about hunger and people's needs and nourishment and identity and agriculture, and far more than what you see on the plate. And I always had that view towards food, and that really, when I was working with, when you work with good people, it enhances your thinking. So when I worked with Tracy Burr writing the Mekai book, we really had this thinking in common. So that kind of developed more for me. And then, when we won the Gourmand Award, that was like a moment I couldn't walk away from, because actually in my mind, I was going to come down here, write the Mekai book and deliver this to the Pacific and then go back to my life in New York or Miami. But, I felt like I couldn't leave the mana of the award really without doing everything I could to activate what I originally intended to do. So I have stayed on that path,
You had literally written yourself a path that you had to follow.
Yeah, no, totally. Sometimes I wonder if I hadn't won the Gourmand Award, would I have gone back? I'm not sure, because it was a real, I'd been working in New York and Miami and these great food capitals, really, of the world. And I'd come to appreciate Pacific food more and more and more as I realized, as I developed myself in the gastronomic space, I began to realize the Pacific cuisine and the individual cuisines of the islands. Actually, I don't say Pacific cuisine much, because Samoa has its cuisine, Vanuatu has its cuisine, Fiji has its cuisine, etc. But the different cuisines of the islands were just a little bit overlooked by the international world. But of course, if you grow up in the Pacific, or you're from the Pacific, or you have the Pacific at heart even, you think of the luau and the parusami, and you think of the kokondas and all those dishes that we consider to be quite ordinary, and I began to see them as extraordinary through my international food life. And that was the other thing that I wanted to create the same sense of awe that I had on the international stage. That was my it seemed like a crazy dream at the time, but actually it happened.
Robert, you talk about your love of food, and yet when I see you, you are the picture of health. For me, it's like you don't eat enough food. How do you stay so trim and looking so fit? It's Men's Health Week. Why don't you give us some advice about that?
Well, this is why Pacific Food Island Food Revolution came about for me, is because what we began to realize was that the NCD crisis in the Pacific, which everyone knows about, the obesity, diabetes, all those conditions that are a result of poor eating habits, would all be corrected if everyone was eating from the natural cuisine base of the islands. There's no need to go out of that natural, beautiful natural food space. And the industrialization of food everywhere, which has meant the fast foods and the kind of convenience food stuff that have absolutely no nutrition. They are cheap and they're fast, but they're not really food, really, in the nourishment sense. So thank you for saying that I look trim. I always think I need to spend another, 20 hours in the gym every week, but I do eat clean food. And if you live the life, like I live on TV screens and in books writing about this food, of course I embody it because I love it. So I'll tell you something. If you've been to Blue Rose Cafe in Auckland,
yes.
Oh my God! Sometimes I find that I'm just driving there without even realizing I've gotten on the car. And that's because they have taro and luau on their menu, and I just got to go have that stuff from time to time. I mean, it's called soul food for a reason, eh?
Absolutely.
It resonates deep within, and food and identity are fundamental. So. With Pacific Island Food Revolution, we were just trying to create a fun approach to really celebrating what is just the inherent nature of the Pacific Islands.
Yes, Robert, speaking of non-communicable diseases, if you look at photos of us pre-settlements, European arriving, we were trim, even in the 60s, even in the 70s, before
right.
I left home, and now we are at the wrong end of the obesity scale. And it can only have to do with the food that we're eating. Interesting to see Tonga is banning the importation of, mutton flap from the 1st of July. Those movements would really help.
Yeah, and also don't forget that the processed foods and the fizzy drinks, the sweet drinks, are really inexpensive. And people have turned to them as convenience, but they're killing people. And that's not convenient, you know. I mean, there's a sense of justice in this somewhere to me. I mean, and we cannot ignore the fact that the region was colonized, and colonization brings in oppression, and oppression of a culture, and food culture is a part of that. So there was a bit of a vacuum in a way that the fast foods could enter. But also tourism, because tourism was often promoting destinations and not food being central to the destination promise, like France or Thailand. I think there was a bit of a knock-on effect of people thinking, oh, you know, no one else likes that food. You know, so maybe it's not that world-class thing that I believe it is. And anyone who experiences real Pacific food in a Pacific home, and if they haven't before, you know, in my experience, they have this moment of like, why doesn't everyone know about this? Because it's so extraordinary. So, but yeah, it is really important to realize that those original foods that grandmothers cooked, you know, from our generation, that is the basis for a good life, and we wouldn't have NTDs, we wouldn't have obesity if we were eating from the market, from the garden, from the original Pacific food culture base. Doesn't mean it has to stay traditional or the same. It's just don't leave the foundation, because the foundation is really extraordinary.
Now tell us about the Pacific Island Food Revolution. The first series came out the end of last year. Wonderful to see our faces, wonderful to see our food, and wonderful to hopefully see our future on the TV.
Yeah, and I have to acknowledge the Australian and New Zealand governments for supporting the project, because it's innovative. I mean, it's usually health campaigns come dressed up very differently from this. This was through the portal of entertainment, and it was because I wanted people to engage in this, and we called it Revolution so that we can invite as many people into the space as possible through the contestant base and through the co-host. So it's, you know, the idea came because I was a judge on My Kitchen Rules, and through that I realized how effective those big cooking shows are at getting people really excited about food and cooking, and so I'm like, well, we can use that for the benefit of our people, you know. And so that's how Pacific Island Food Revolution came across. So even though it's entertainment, there is a reason sitting behind us, and that is to say, let's look at these amazing dishes. And a lot of the contestants are very young people, you know, and what I find very heartening is I feel there's a good future, a food future for the Pacific, if we allow young people to step into that. And because they have the passion, they have the talent. And if we just have to create the platform for them, you know, to operate within. And so that's what my dream for Pacific Island Food Revolution was. And it's playing on demand, by the way, still. Season 1 and Season 2 will be out on TV One a little later in the year. It's about to go global as well. We have an international distributor, and international broadcast of the show will happen within a few months.
For our listeners who will want to catch this on podcast, we will have a link to that on demand, so they can watch that first series as before the second series comes out at the end of the year. What other projects are you working on at the moment, Robert?
I'm always a little secretive, but I am working on another book. I'm working on a follow-up to Merkai, and I'm doing it through Pacific Island Food Revolution with my team. One thing I've loved about the Pacific Island Food Revolution is that in each country, Fiji, Samoa, Vanuatu, and the Kingdom of Tonga, I have phenomenal people hosting the show with me. And we're all really close. We're old friends. Dr. John Ahiwe in Fiji, Dora Rossi in Samoa, Vatasi McKenzie in Vanuatu, and then Her Royal Highness Princess Pilulebu in Tonga, also Fololeni Kerr in Tonga. And we all, you know, we want to, because we can't film this year because of COVID, we're like, well, what can we do? And I was like, well, we've got a lot of content and we've got a lot of passion. We've got a lot of talent amongst these people. So we are putting a book together. And we're thinking through what would be the best form for that, because one thing about cookbooks is they're expensive, but I want everyone to have access to this. So we're just going through that rationale at the moment. But yeah, that you're the, you heard it here first, because I'm actually usually quiet about these things until they're about to come out. But yeah, I'm excited about this.
Robert Oliver, chef and chef, executive director and founder of Pacific Island Food Revolution. Thank you so much for your time, and we can't wait to see the book on the bookshelf.
Yeah, thank you. Really good to talk to you, and say hi to your wife.
I will. Look forward to talking again soon, Robert. Thank
you. Right, thank you.
Yeah, talk care.